I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, the government of Greenland says thanks, but no thanks. In response to reports that President Trump has taken an interest in buying the island for the U.S., the Danish territory issued a short statement today to clarify that it is not on the market. While Greenland has made its position clear, the story raises questions as to whether such a transaction even is feasible. For a closer look, we are joined now on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Joseph Blocher, Duke University law professor who has studied sovereign territory that was bought and sold throughout American history. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Briefly give us a history of what we just said, the sovereign territory that has been bought and sold. For example, we have the Louisiana Purchase. What other significant territories were bought in the name of the U.S. government?
Sure. Well, that's a big one, but it's not the only one. The Alaska Purchase is another one. The Gadsden Treaty, the Adams-Onis Treaty. Actually, if you look at it in terms of square mileage, most of the United States was acquired by one of those purchases. So at least in U.S. history, this is certainly not unprecedented. You just have to look pretty far back to find the precedent.
All right. So here we are in 2019. How feasible is this today?
Well, you know, whether it's feasible is a different question from whether it's legal. You know, international law and practice might permit something like this, but there's a lot more to a transfer like this than there would be to a real estate deal. And the big thing is that you have to take account for the fact that sovereign territory is different than property. Right? This involves governance, it involves citizenship. Those are a lot harder to work out than things like fixtures in a real estate deal.
All right, so how would those kinds of things be worked out?
Well, they have to be done with the consent of all the parties involved, and so that means not just the United States and Denmark, but I think that the best reading of international law and practice would say that also the people of Greenland have to be on board with any transfer, and that could involve a lot of complicated considerations about, you know, financial compensation, about natural resources, as I say, about citizenship. And what it would take to get everybody to agree, you know, is going to be different from transfer to transfer. But in this case, that certainly would involve a lot of complicated considerations.
Greenland has already issued a statement, and it's even been all over social media saying we're open for business, but not for sale. But could the United States push something like this even in the face of that statement?
I think that the best reading of international law and practice is that no, it couldn't. This kind of thing is, you know, if it's going to be voluntary, it needs to be voluntary. You can't have a sale without a seller. And here, you know, the question is not just is there a willing or an interested buyer, and maybe the United States is, I don't really know. This caught me by surprise anyway. But in order for Greenland and Denmark to come to the table, I think would require enough of an offer, I guess, for them to be interested. It's certainly, if you have an involuntary sale, you're getting awfully close to conquest, and that's just not something that I think is on the table anymore as a matter of international law or practice.
And along those lines, if it's a matter of conquest, that becomes a completely different issue, and wouldn't the military need to get involved?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think we're hopefully nowhere even near discussing anything like that. That's the way that nations used to do this centuries and centuries and centuries ago. And as I say, you know, even voluntary sales are not something we've really seen on the international scene in more than a century. The United States bought the Indies from Denmark, actually, in 1917. And that was the last of the sales, at least that I'm aware of. Now, countries still lease property back and forth, like for things like military bases, and that's all purely voluntary. Things like conquest and discovery, the way that countries used to expand their borders, that's just not the way that that international law and practice want borders to change anymore, and for good reason. So I think to the degree we're even considering this possibility, it would have to be voluntary and with the agreement of all the parties concerned, which again would mean the United States, at least the United States, Denmark, and Greenland.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for taking a few minutes to talk to us and for offering your expertise. Joseph Blocher is Duke University law professor who has studied sovereign territory.